Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, August 14th, 2016, Pastor Paul Tolbert. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make Him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Before I read this for you from Jeremiah chapter 23, you need to know a little bit of context about Jeremiah and his times. The Semprof that helped me understand Jeremiah said, "Gentlemen, no matter how bad it gets in the ministry, no matter how bad the culture gets, remember Jeremiah." Jeremiah was called by God while he was still in the womb. He didn't know it at the time, he was still in the womb. But when he came out, it became pretty obvious. And later on, he said, "Well, Lord, I don't know what to talk about. I don't know what to say to these people." And God says, "I'm going to give you my word. You speak my word. And they're not going to listen." Well, then why speak his word? Because among God's people, there were always a handful and will always be a handful of believers who listen to God's word and are refreshed by it and need to be encouraged by it and reminded that God is a faithful God. Now, Jeremiah was told these words knowing that Jerusalem was going to be leveled. He had told his king, "You should just surrender. The Lord says, if you surrender, he will spare every life." And instead, the king said, "I'm not going to surrender nothing." And Jerusalem was leveled. Jeremiah was taken off into captivity. It was not a good, happy time. So there was a time when Jeremiah didn't want to speak God's word. Just zip the lip, be quiet, letting things just go along the way. And he said, "Your word was like a fire burning in my gut. I have to speak it." And God told him to speak it and let God do what God does with God's word. So this is what God says about his word. Some harsh truth, some clear truth. But you need harsh and clear truth. You need the word of the Lord to understand what a lie is and what deceit is that can harm you. God says, "Am I a God who is only near and not a God who is far away?" This is the Lord's declaration. "Can a man hide himself in secret places where I cannot see him?" This is the Lord's declaration. "Do I not fill the heavens and the earth?" This is the Lord's declaration. "I have heard what the prophets who prophesy a lie in my name have said. I had a dream. How long will this continue in the minds of the prophets, prophesying lies, prophets of deceit of their own minds? Through their dreams that they tell one another, they plan to cause my people to forget my name, as their fathers forgot my name through Baal worship. The prophet who has only a dream should recount the dream, but the one who has my word is to speak my word truthfully. For what is straw compared to grain? This is the Lord's declaration. Is not my word like fire and like a hammer that pulverizes rock? This is the Lord's declaration. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen." Dear friends and fellow believers, both here and online, one of the things that God tells us in his word is he describes things and he says, something is like something else. That's a comparison so that you'll know a little bit better about how something is. For instance, my dog, Chloe, is like a soft, fluffy puffball. Well, now you understand that my dog Chloe is not a guard dog, not bristly. Can't be afraid of Chloe. Can't be afraid of a puffball. It's a description so you understand Chloe a little bit better. Doesn't go into great detail because it's going to assume that you're going to get to know Chloe a little bit better. If you want to know her better, you're on your own. It's after church. Go to the parsonage. God tells us about his word. He wants us to know in his word what he is like and what his word is like. And listen to some of the things that God says his word is like. My word is like a filtering sieve, like a searchlight, like a crushing hammer, like a sharp knife, like a life-giving seed, like a trustworthy weapon against lies. And then here in our verse, my word is like fire. We're going to be looking at that. My word is like fire a little bit. My word is like fire. Fire ignites the soul. It burns the conscience. Oh, it purifies my life. It illuminates my mind and understanding, energizes me, and it warms me, and it fuses things together that normally are not together. My word, isn't it like fire? Fire ignites stuff. At the end of a gardening season here in the middle of Wisconsin, they'll gather up all the stuff, leftovers of the garden, now that all the harvest has been gathered, put it in a big pile along with all the leaves. And nowadays, you get a government permit, and then you can light that fire and watch it all go up in smoke. Because that's just tinder. It's just junk to be burned away. God's word is kind of like that for us. We have a lot of stuff in our lives. And I can speak personally about my own life. I can't speak personally about yours, but personally about my own life. There's enough junk in my life to make a pretty good fire. It's stuff that is there. It's hanging around. I don't want it to be there. It's kind of like going to a construction site. See the bits and pieces of the wood that are there? You know, they got to go. So the Lord comes along with his word, and he uses his word. And the first thing I am reminded of is that by nature, I am dead. I am like a dried, dead tree. Well, how do they go when confronted with fire? Well, pretty quickly, thank you. Whoosh, they're gone. That's how God's word is. That's how come whenever you speak God's word to someone who's not a believer, the first reaction is to kind of back away from you. Even when you speak it to a believer, the first reaction is like, oh, I don't know if I really want this, because God's word burns up that junk. It lets us see ourselves for what we really are. We are dead. We are lifeless. And we can surely tell that when we get close to God's word, because like a fire, God's word not just burns up the junk, it also, it's hot to the touch. When God's word touches a sin that you've been carefully guarding, oh, that hurts. When God's word touches something that he says is unholy and we are carrying that in our lives, when the holy touches the unholy is what hurts. There's a time when Jesus was preaching, and it was in the temple area, and all of a sudden these scribes and Pharisees, these are the guys that go around in robes like this. They're guys in front of church. They're guys in the church council. These are the leaders in the church. And they came and they were dragging this woman. They had caught her in bed with the husband of another woman. And they said to him, you know, Jesus, this piece of scum, she, you know, Moses says about her, she should be stoned to death. What do you say? And Jesus does something kind of unusual. He kneels down in the ground and he starts to write with his finger in the ground. It's the first time we ever have any knowledge that Jesus is writing anything. We're not told what he wrote. And they're kind of fidgeting. They're saying, you know, I got these stones here, Lord. What do you say? Because the scribes and Pharisees were not concerned about this woman's soul. They were concerned about keeping the rules. This woman had broken the rules. God says, if you break these rules, you die. So what do you say, Jesus? They're trying to figure out a way to make Jesus embarrassed to be connected to God. And he didn't fall for it. He just stood up and he said, you know, whoever is without sin, you throw the first stone. He kneels down and he starts writing again. Then run. I think this is just fascinating. Starting with the oldest ones, eventually getting down to the younger guys, they all left. Why did they leave? Because Jesus confronted them with his word. They were all bent on getting rid of this person who is such a sinner. And Jesus says, you know, if you want to be God, if you're going to claim to be God, if you're going to pretend to be in his shoes, then you who is without sin, you throw that first stone. And they realize, wait a minute, I don't measure up to the holy God. And they started to slowly back away. What were some of the things that they might have been thinking about? Maybe things like what the Apostle Paul later on wrote down. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. In the same way, husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hates his own flesh, but provides and cares for it, just as Christ does for the church. All of a sudden, these older guys realize, hey, you know, I'm not loving my spouse the way that God wants me to, and I'm not perfect. And they start to back away and back away until finally this woman is here. She did not go. She's all alone. So Jesus says, woman, where are all your accusers? And she says, well, they've left, Lord. And then Jesus says to her, neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. It's not that sin is okay. It's that Jesus came to get rid of sin, to rescue the sinner. So he said, I've put away your sin. I am the only one standing here who is without sin. I am the only one who could take up a rock to end your life. And I'm telling you instead, I do not condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin. Wow. If that little slice of history doesn't burn our consciences, I don't know what does. The holy God, when he touches our lives with his word, our consciences sting. But we need to know that God's word doesn't just to make us miserable, make all of us husbands think that we're louses, make all of us wives think that, oh man, you know, what are we doing here? No, the Lord's word is to sting so that we see we have a problem. We have unholiness and we have to serve and live for a holy God. How? What are we going to do? Well, thankfully, fire does one more thing. It purifies things. If you're out camping, fire gets rid of the germs. Yeah, everybody knows that. So what happens here? God's word is like fire and it purifies us. Isaiah is another prophet in the Old Testament. He needed to understand this from the living God. And so what happened is, this God gave him a vision. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne. His robe filled the temple. Seraphim, those are guardian angels, were standing above him. Each one had six wings. With two, the seraphim covered his face. Two, he covered his feet. Two, he flew. And one called to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. His glory fills the whole earth. And the foundations of the doorway shook at the sound of their voices, and the temple was filled with smoke. And then I said, Woe is me! I am ruined! I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And before he falls into despair, the Lord dispatches one of the angels, and he records what happens. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, and in his hand was a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth, and with it, and he said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed. Your sin is atoned for." Did a coal from a hot fire get rid of the sin of lying that he had done to his mom or dad years back? No. What happened was God was teaching him, if I say something, it is done. So I say to you that then this coal touches your lips. Your sin has been paid off. God looked ahead to what Jesus did on the cross, and it was all covered. And he made sure that Isaiah knew that. We still do the same thing today. God, in his great mercy, tells us our sins are forgiven. You've heard that already many times already just this morning. But he knows how it is with us. And so he says, you know what? You take common water and you connect my word to that. And I promise you, as you are baptizing that little one, their sin is forgiven. I take my word and I connect it to bread and wine. And I tell you, all of my body and all of my blood is there so that you know I lived and I died and came back to life for you. We have a great and a generous God who wants us to know about our forgiveness. And he uses that word. It does hurt us, but it also purifies us, makes us understand that his desire is to bring us closer to himself. And that way, God's word illuminates my mind and lets me think. I start to see things from God's point of view. That sin hurts people. Therefore, sin is not something to be cuddled up to. Sin is to be avoided. That's what the Lord says in his word, my people hate evil. He commands us to cling to what is good. Goes on. Something else about fire. I said it kind of energizes the will. It's like when you take fire and you put it in underneath a container that's holding water, let's say a metal container, and then eventually the water starts to bubble and steam, and you put a little tube off of that, and you connect it to some rods and some gears, and you can pretty soon have a steam engine, and you can go places. Because that fire started that whole deal by creating steam. That's what happens with us. When we hear God's word, that's right. My sin has been forgiven. Mine. Jesus came for me. He died for me. It's me. He loves me. He really does care about me. He has all power in heaven and on earth, and yet he wants me to be with him in heaven. That is really good news. Which comes to the last one. God's word warming my heart to the point where it fuses me with other people. All of us here, we're from different ages. Male and female, young and old. Different understandings of life, different jobs, different degrees of learning that we've had. And yet, what does God do? He takes his word and it goes right through us, and he says, you know what? This is what I say. And we say, oh, wow, Lord. And he uses his word to warm us up and fuse us together like iron ore. When I worked in an aluminum foundry down in Moline, Illinois, when I was younger, it just amazed me that they would take this powder that was all individual powder, and they throw it into a bucket. They took that bucket and they threw that huge bucket into a very hot furnace. Not yellow hot fire, not red hot fire, white hot fire. You couldn't get anywhere near it. And then what would happen? Those individual grains would join together. And when they cooled off, there were rock solid aluminum bars. That's what metal does in the presence of fire. That's what God's people do. We join together. And we are united by God in this. So God's word is like fire. God's word. So that tells you the source, God. Well, God has all power in heaven and earth. So there is a power connected with his word. So it's not just the source, it's not just the force, but when there's God in his power, he's using it to direct it for good. The course that it goes throughout this world is to do good, to make sure that souls are saved. So in Jesus' name, this week, go out with God's word in your heart. Get to know God's word just a little bit better. If you haven't opened up your Bible this week because it's just been plain too busy, open it up today. And take a peek at the Psalms. Remind yourself again and again of this great God that we serve. In his name, so let us live. Amen.